The time is 2:05 p.m. We're back on the record for the formal hearing of OPAPA 16-007 and 16-011.
All right, so just a few preliminary matters before we begin. We had a, parties and I, hearing officer, had a discussion concerning whether or not Mr. Flores would have to be taken as a witness out of order this afternoon. All the parties had agreed that Mr. Flores would not be called as a witness, and hence taking his testimony out of order would not be necessary. Further, for the record, Mr. Romero returned at 2 o'clock as ordered, and I'm going to, Mr. Romero, just on the off chance that we finish with Mr. Benavente, I'm going to ask that you stay in the OPA hearing room just until hopefully we'll be able to at least start your testimony. If not, you'll probably come back down here or you'll be released by about 3:30. Okay, do you understand that? Can I ask somebody to ask word in the OPA hearing or conference room? Further, there was another preliminary matter that was brought up while we were off the record informally. That was the issue of the remedies brief that was that would have been due on September the 13th, next week, Tuesday. As we have not concluded these proceedings, we'll not conclude them before that date. I'm going to vacate that deadline to file the remedies brief, and I will be issuing a new date that will correspond with the close of this formal hearing. And we are still, according to the parties, waiting to hear from Attorney Tom Fisher as to the availability of Mr. E.J. Calvo for testimony, but I know parties heard of that yet. Would that be a fair presentation of our informal discussion of parties?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. That's correct. Thank
all right. So where we left off, we were in the midst of Mr. Keeler's cross-examination of Mr. Benavente. Mr. Benavente is on the witness stand. Mr. Benavente, just remind you, we're still under oath. And Mr. Keeler, your witness for cross-examination.
Thank you.
Mr. Benavente, I'm going to be showing you a couple different exhibits that are going to have to be added. Yesterday, you testified as to attending some meetings. Today, earlier today, you stated that you weren't in attendance in meetings. Can you tell us who the negotiating committee was that was tasked by the public legislation?
Superintendent of DOE, the administrator of GEDA, and the director or deputy of public works.
Okay, so you were tasked by legislation to participate, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'd like to show you, can I have a permission?
Yeah, you may approach, please.
Okay. This is DPW Exhibit W.
Keeler, is this part of the procurement record?
Yes, it should be.
It should be. Please proceed. So it's Exhibit W for identification.
Correct. Mr. Benavente, do you recognize this document?
This particular document? Can't say that I do.
Okay, well, it's an email. It's a April 29th email that was issued by Arlene Pierce. Who's Ms. Pierce?
She's the controller at the Department of Public Works.
Okay. And what was her role with regards to this particular procurement?
When I had to leave Island for medical reasons, I asked her to sit in on my behalf to represent Public Works.
And if you were on island, you would have attended?
That's correct.
Okay, if you take a look at this email, if you can see who it's addressed to, is that the, are those listed, the individuals that generally participated in the, or attended the negotiating team's meetings?
Except for Eleanor Borja and Cameron Santos, yes.
Okay, and Eleanor Borja was CC'd for purposes of maintaining the record?
That's correct.
Okay, and Cameron Santos for the same thing?
Yes.
Okay, so based on this, do you have a recollection as to whether or not you would have attended some of these meetings?
An easy question to answer if I know when I arrived back on Guam. It was right around this time that I came back to Guam from Manila.
Okay.
And that would be reflected in the attendance sheet.
Okay. I'd like to also show you what is marked as DPW Exhibit X. It should also be part of the procurement record. This is another email from Ms. Pierce, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and it is addressed to you, correct?
CC me, yes.
Okay, correct. And Ms. Borja again got a copy?
Yes.
Okay, and it states or talks about a scheduled meeting at 8:30 by the RFP committee.
Yes.
Which you would have been a part of. And then following that, the RFP committee would have met with Chief at Okadu High School, correct?
Yes.
Okay, were these, what? Can you tell us why there was a meeting at Okadu?
I understand the purpose of that meeting was to do a walkthrough to familiarize the negotiating committee people with Okadu High School. With the physical facility at Okadu High School. And
Okay, was Okadu recently constructed?
Yes, with an expansion.
Okay, and who constructed it, what company?
From my understanding, it was Jeff.
Okay. Did you attend this walkthrough?
No.
Next, I'm going to show you what's been marked DPW Exhibit Y.
Is this also part of the procurement record?
Yes.
DPW's point of contact for the RFP was John Callanine, correct?
Clear in front of the RFP, yes.
Okay. And so if Chief needed to contact other parties, they would have had to have secured authorization, correct?
Yes.
Do you remember that authorization being discussed in any committee meetings?
Authorization for what?
To allow or authorize Chief to talk to additional parties.
We didn't have a problem with that. I don't honestly remember if there was an actual authorization.
Okay. show you what has been marked as Department of Public Works Exhibit Z. This also is part of the procurement record.
Considering the fact that the procurement record is at least this thick,
right?
I'm going to allow Mr. Keeler some leeway,
not objecting to the exhibit, yeah. But I want to make it clear for the record.
I'll allow you to reserve objections.
Right. It's not in the procurement record that I received.
But I'm relying on Mr. Keeler's assertion that this is part of the procurement record. I'll assume that's true unless the parties can show me otherwise. Okay. Please proceed.
And if I could just make one comment on that.
Sure.
Again, Ms. Eleanor Borja was CC'd for this exact purpose, so that we would have a single point of contact then. And when we prepared the procurement record, we were getting her to print all CCs that she had received.
And I'd like to respond to that. Exhibit Z was printed off of an email from Jamie Pechtel, who is Champ Cavill's personal assistant.
I'm going to object to that. She has no personal knowledge of whether Ms. Pagel is Mr. Cowell's personal assistant.
Actually, I do. She used to work for us.
Used to.
Okay. Hang on. Before we get too far afield. And the basis of your objection, Ms. Pagel, for Exhibit C?
I think the representation, I'm objecting to the representation that it came out of DW's files. This exhibit Z clearly came from Ms. Pechtel, whose name's at the upper margin of this document. So it was printed by her.
Well, I am looking at this. It does say Pechtel at the top, but it's got a subject line. It also says from John Kalanayan.
Because the upper email was deleted, incomplete deleted. Deletion is what we're saying. So I don't have a problem to this. I just have a problem with the representation that it came from DPW's files, when it's pretty clear it did not.
Well, it looks like it is actually from, if I just look at it, from John Kalanayan, and that's his official DPW email. It's addressed to Sean Easter. How it got to Jamie, if it did, I don't know. I know there's a bunch of CCs underneath it. Some of them are attorneys at Calvo, Fisher, so on, offer. But the purpose of entering this exhibit, your offer of proof on this, Mr. Keeler? Exhibit C?
The purpose of it is it relates, I'm trying to refresh Mr. Benedetti's memory as to having participated in the negotiations. And
once again, if we're going to refresh somebody's recollection, there is a foundation that has to be laid first, and that preliminary foundation is, do you remember this? No. I'm showing you this exhibit, as I recall.
That's where it was received.
All right, so I'm going to allow Exhibit Z to enter.
Mr. Benavente, if I recall what you just testified, you stated that you remember general discussions regarding authorization to contact for Jeep to be able to communicate with other government officials, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You were listed as a CC on this particular, on Exhibit Z, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any recollection as to this, or was it in general with discussions you talked about?
Every every so often, and actually not often, I would get maybe there was like one or two of these, and I would check with John, and I say, well, what's normally done? He would advise me, and if he wasn't clear, I would say, check with legal counsel. And that's what would guide my... I don't remember sending this out.
This wasn't sent by you. You were CC'd on it. Do you have a recollection of it?
Vaguely. Yes.
This might have been to you. Confused me there for a second. So is it that you don't?
Yes.
Is it that you have a recollection, or you only have a vague recollection?
I have a vague recollection.
Okay, very good. You may proceed.
I will next show you what's been marked as DPW Exhibit AA. Yesterday you referenced, or made reference to, meetings that had been held up at DOE's Teachin's office?
Yes.
Okay. And you also stated that, or testified, that attendance sheets were regularly maintained, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you are not listed on this particular attendance sheet. This is similar to the ones that you would have signed when you attended meetings?
Yes.
Okay. Now,
Mr. Keeler, is this exhibit AAA also in the record?
Yes, sir.
Very well, please proceed.
Could you repeat exactly what DPW's primary role in the procurement was?
To procure the San Jose, the services to build San Jose High School and have the master plan.
What was your involvement with respect to determining best value?
Honestly, not a lot, except to make sure, or at least the San Juan Sanchez High School, we pretty much gave the major elements of what is going to be delivered to GovBomb, to DOE. We wanted to make sure that there was at least enough money left for the master plan and for the upgrades. So, in a nutshell, we pretty much left the details of the San Juan Sanchez High School to DOE to determine the best value.
If you could take a look at what's been marked as Cortec Exhibit 7, that is April 1st, 2016 letter from Chief.
Yes.
Okay. Can you review that first paragraph? Review the entire letter if you wish, but specifically the first paragraph.
Thank you. Okay.
And this was one of Jeeves' submissions, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And from the language used, does it state like it's a new independent proposal, or is it more of a revision?
Objection calls for, well, like a foundation, number one. Number two, he's not an engineer. He hasn't, he's testified he wasn't really all that involved in some of this process and the negotiations. In fact, he didn't attend his initial meetings.
Ms. Tang, I think he also testified he was pretty much the chief procurement officer for DPW regarding this particular solicitation.
That's correct.
Okay, I'm going to overrule the objection.
Thank you.
Please answer the question, Mr. Benavente.
Did you say revision?
From the language used, from a review of the letter, do you view this as a new independent proposal, or do you view this as a working revised document?
Working revised document.
And why do you say that?
It compares the first or a subsequent, a previous submittal to this one.
And it talks about having gathered additional information, is that correct?
That's correct.
And part of that would have come from the walkthrough of the Okadoo High School?
Yes.
Would you view the...
A lot of it had to do with the walkthrough.
Walkthrough. Would you view the Okadoo as an apples-to-apples comparison?
Yes. Closer.
Okay. And would there have been interviews and inspections of Okadoo at the during that inspection?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And what was the purpose of doing the walkthrough at San Sanchez?
Well, I think part of it was for the principal and the teachers there to show the committee members what was there, to get their input on the ongoings and see what the faculty and I don't know if they talked to students, but I know they were guided by the principal and faculty, principal and staff to look at the facility, the San Luis Sanchez facility.
What was Jeeves' involvement in these walkthroughs?
I wasn't there. So, presume familiarization.
Participated in the evaluation, correct?
Correct.
And you rated Jeep the highest, correct?
Correct.
Why?
Well, based on the individual categories of the chart, I found them to have the that I should rate them higher than the other two.
Okay, and you were ranking them, that would have been evaluating the composition of their team?
Yes.
And what was your opinion of their team?
I thought they had an outstanding team.
So, post-evaluation, commencement of negotiations, and allowing communications with other members of the government. Was there an expectation for Chief to obtain information and more particular details concerning the needs of Simon Sanchez?
I'm kind of split between the evaluation and negotiation gap here. There's a gap of time.
Correct. My question focused on the negotiation.
Okay, so now we're in the negotiation part. Okay.
Yes. At the stage where the government had authorized Chief to communicate with other government agencies. What was the purpose of them communicating? Was it to get additional information?
Yes. Yes. We had to get feedback from DOE, and we had to get feedback from GITA.
GITA with respect to financing?
Yes.
And DOE with respect to the particulars of the school and evaluating its considerations?
Yes.
You've already testified that the contract at section 3.1 provides a $100 million cap, correct?
Correct.
I'd like to have you take a look at CoreTech Exhibit 12. For the record, this is DPW's Exhibit B. Do you recognize that document?
The procurement record document? May 13th?
Yes, that is correct.
Yes.
Okay, it's a May 13th, 2016 memorandum. That was the memorandum prepared by the committee?
Yes.
And what was the purpose of the memorandum?
To document the procurement record. I mean.
And it's your understanding that that complies with government requirements?
Yes.
Okay. If you could look at page 4 of 5, the fourth bullet point.
Page 4 of 5. Fourth bullet, okay. Got it.
Does that also document that the contract is for 5 years and not to exceed $100 million?
Yes.
And is that also documented in the notice of intent to award? Should be CT CoreTech Exhibit 11. Look at the second page of that exhibit, directly under the name Chief or Guam Educational Facilities Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that first line state that it is the contract is an amount not to exceed $100 million?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any question in your mind that the contract is for $100 million and $100 million only?
There is no question.
Mr. Benavente, who is responsible at DPW for certifying the procurement record?
Ultimately, the director
of
public works.
You, correct?
Yes.
Okay. For this procurement, have you certified the record?
I don't think so.
Okay. And is that possibly because the contract hasn't been technically or formally submitted to the Attorney General's office yet?
That's correct.
Okay. So it's your practice to certify the record at the time the contract is submitted for approval?
Yes.
There's been questions and testimony concerning the log being incomplete. You're familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. Who's responsible for maintaining the log?
Ultimately, the Director of Public Works, but it's actually done by the technical staff.
Right. And in this case, that would be Mr. Kalanayan, correct?
Yes.
Have you had any conversations with Mr. Kalanayan regarding the incomplete log?
I mentioned to him that the log should be ready by, you know, as soon as possible.
Did you state whether or not you were going to certify it without a complete log?
Certify?
The record, the procurement record.
No, I didn't say that to him, but that's what expected, you know. I get a complete log, and then when that happens, I certify it, but I didn't say that.
There's also been questions with regards to possibly trying to rush this contract through. Has the contract been signed by the AG's office, by the Attorney General, I'm sorry?
I don't know.
Well, you haven't formally submitted to the Attorney General's office, have you?
No.
Okay.
No.
So the Attorney General hasn't been technically requested to review it, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And obviously it hasn't been submitted to the governor's office for signature.
That's correct.
Okay. In your practice with DPW, what is the general time frame for obtaining both the Attorney General's and governor's signatures?
It could take a month, two.
So typically it's not an expedited process.
No.
Is it your opinion that the proposed contract and with JEEF offers the best value based on Department of Education's input?
Yes.
It's in the best interest of Guam to move forward with the contract?
Yes.
Thank you.
No questions. Mr. Gillis?
Thank you. Mr. Agnew, your witness for cross-examination.
Mr. Beneventi, I'd just like to call your attention to some of the exhibits. First of all, to start with one of the exhibits that Ms. Tang questioned you about. I think it's her exhibit 37. Do you have that in front of you? It's a stand. It was an additional exhibit that was added just this week. Standalone.
It would be in this is my jerk. It would be in the loose ones.
I have it.
Okay. It's an email at the top. It has a header for Randy Romero.
Yes.
It's dated Tuesday, March 15, 2016.
Yes.
Do you see that? Okay.
Yes.
And Ms. Tang asked you a couple of questions about the document that was attached to that email. Do you recall that?
Yes. I called her asking.
Yes, she was asking about
yes.
that, asking a few questions. And so Ms. Tang was focusing on portions of that attachment to that email. Specifically, at the bottom, the page numbers 233 and 234. Can you turn to the bottom? GDOE 0233 and 0234.
Okay.
So going back to 234, on page 234.
Okay.
She asked me about that chart.
Yes.
About, you know, supposed proposals and who was the author of that chart. Do you recall that?
I remember her asking, yes.
Okay. Has she asked you who prepared that chart?
Yes.
Do you recall that question?
Yes.
And your answer was that you didn't know?
That's correct.
Okay. And she asked you, could Geith have prepared it? And what was your response? Do you recall that you said they could have?
Yes.
But since you didn't know, anybody could have prepared this, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I want you to turn your attention to page one of the exhibit. Yes, the first page,
okay.
The first page, sitting with the same exhibit. Okay, this is the first page of the email. Did Ms. Tang bother to ask you about this first page of the email? Did she ask you any questions about the first page of this email?
I don't think about the substance of it, but that it made reference to an attachment.
Okay, correct. So let's go to the first paragraph of that email. Do you see it?
Yes.
Okay, and this is the email from Mr. Romero. It says, please see revised attachments. Additions are highlighted in yellow.
Yes.
See that?
Yes.
Okay, and then the text below that, it appears to be an earlier email from Mr. Romero, March 15th, 2016 at 10:31.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it says that Mr. Romero wrote, quote, the attachment is my review of Geith's RFP proposal submission, specifically on the cost proposal of Simon Sanchez High School and the letters received for additional costs. It also briefly compares the cost of the other submissions. Do you see that?
Yes.
Is it possible that Mr. Romero prepared that chart?
It's possible.
Based on his email also?
Yes.
Ms. Tang was asking a couple of questions about so-called sealed price proposals. Do you recall those questions that she was asking this morning?
Yes.
What was your understanding about what her questions were about, these sealed price proposals?
That they were open, looked at, and compared.
Now, she specifically described these price proposals as being sealed. Do you recall that?
Yes.
She mentioned it several times.
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall any portion of the RFP where it requires a so-called price proposal to be submitted and let alone to be sealed as part of the submissions?
I don't recall anything like that.
Okay. Let me take you, let me show you specific sections and see if they also refresh your recollection.
Okay.
Let's go to Cortex exhibit number one. So it's tab one in her exhibits. And I'll get you the page where I want you to go to. Okay, CT1-21. I'll direct your attention to section 4.2.1.4. You see that?
Yes.
Okay. One.
Your
exhibit. And section
21.
Page
21.
Thank you.
What was the section number you're referring to?
4.2.1.4.
Thank you.
At the top of the page. I believe Ms. Tang also asked you one or two questions about this particular section. So I'll give you just a minute to read that section. And just let me know when you're finished reading that.
Yes, I'm finished.
Okay, and that concerns, this section concerns a bid bond, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and it says DPW will require all offers include sick, must have been a typo, include a bid bond of not less than 15% of the bid amount as a requirement of this RFP. The bid bond shall be enclosed in the sealed bid envelope and will be considered as a companion document to the sealed bid. Is that correct?
That's what it says, yes.
Okay. Does that refresh your recollection that this is one of the requirements that, or probably the only requirement that is required to be submitted in a sealed document?
Yes.
While we're on this subject, let's look at the next section, section 4.2.1.5. You see that?
Yes.
Does that also have to do with another type of bond? It's regarding a performance and payment bond, isn't it?
Yes, a bid bond is this.
It's different, isn't
it's
it?
It's a performance bond.
Okay. Now, if you go back to section 4.2.1.4, that is a bid bond, meaning a bond that is submitted at the time that an offeror submits its bid. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that's under this section, that's required to be in a sealed envelope, correct?
Yes.
Now, if we go to section 4.2.1.5, that concerns the performance and payment bond, correct? The 100% performance and payment bond.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. And that's a different requirement under the RFP, correct?
Yes, right here.
Okay. Does it say in that section anywhere that that bond has to be submitted at the time that the proposals are submitted? It just says that the performance and payment bond must be obtained by the offeror or its prime contractor. Am I correct?
Yes, it says.
Okay. Let's also look at addendum 6 to the RFP. Okay, this is in Cortex. Exhibit number 2. Page, it also references page 21. These are certain amendments. It's an amendment to section 4.2.1.4.
Yes.
Okay. And it addresses the issue of the bid bond, correct?
Yes.
Okay. DPW will require that all offers include a bid bond of not less than 15% of the $100 million to be financed. The bid bond shall be enclosed in the sealed bid envelope. Is that correct?
Yes.
So the requirements of submitting this bond in a sealed envelope haven't changed, or didn't change?
That's correct. They have not changed.
So to your knowledge in the RFP, let me ask you this. To your knowledge in the RFP again, to your knowledge, was there any requirement in the RFP that required a price proposal to be submitted?
There was no requirement for a price proposal.
There wasn't a requirement, correct?
No, not in the RFP.
Okay. So do you wish to correct your testimony from this morning? Because Ms. Tang was asking questions about sealed proposals being submitted.
Objection. His testimony this morning is that it was required to be sealed. His testimony now says that it's not required in RFP. But the question that isn't answered is, what does the law require? And he requires it to be sealed. So it is inappropriate for him to ask him to change his testimony.
Ms. Tang, so if he does change his testimony, that is definitely something you can bring out in your closing argument as to whether or not we should attribute any weight to his testimony at all. I'm going to overrule the objection and allow the line of questioning to proceed. You may proceed, Mr. Aguirre.
Thank you, Mr. Camacho. So, Mr. Benavente, is it your testimony after reviewing these provisions that there was no requirement under the RFP to submit a price proposal in a sealed?
Yes, that, absolutely. What was in the envelopes, I don't know because I wasn't there when it, you know, when it was submitted. So we never opened them as a committee.
Well, if you were aware of sealed envelopes at the time that these proposals have been submitted, and reading section 4.2.1.4 of the RFP, isn't it entirely possible that those sealed envelopes were the bid bond, the 15% bid bond that was required?
Yes.
I'd like to turn your attention to Cortex Exhibit 13.
Okay.
This morning asked you a number of questions about the IDIQ, and one of the questions that she was asking you, or rather probably she was assuming, is that the IDIQ she mentioned was for the construction of Simon Sanchez High School, with subsequent task orders to be executed for the remaining schools. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And what was your testimony? Was your testimony that the IDIQ was in fact the contract for the construction of Simon Sanchez High School?
I don't see it as a construction contract for Simon Sanchez High School.
Okay. Well, let's go to certain sections. Let's take some time to go through certain sections of the IDIQ to make sure that we have a correct understanding of it, according to your view. So, if you go to, your understanding of the IDIQ was that there are supposed to be task orders, subsequent task orders with specifications, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And was it your understanding that a task order was supposed to be executed for the construction of Simon Sanchez High School?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to section 3.1 of the IDIQ. This is page... That's actually page 3 of the contract, but in Cortex Bates numbering, it's page 5.
Of which exhibit number?
The same exhibit, page exhibit 13.
What page number again? I'm sorry.
It's page 5 under Cortex Bates number.
Thank you.
13-5. So I'm going actually on focusing your attention on section 3.1. I believe that Ms. Tang asked you a couple of questions about that paragraph, but she was focusing on the $100 million aspect of that.
Yes.
Do you recall that?
Yes.
Okay, can I direct your attention to the last paragraph of that section? I mean, the last sentence of that paragraph?
Yes.
Can you read that aloud?
The first and second task orders would be for Samuel Sanchez High School and the CCIP.
Okay, so that's consistent with the understanding, isn't it? That there
yes.
are going to be subsequent task orders, correct?
Yes.
Including the task order for Samuel Sanchez High School, correct?
Yes.
So Ms. Tang was wrong this morning when she assumed that the IDIP was the contract for the construction of Samuel Sanchez High School. And there wasn't going to be a subsequent task order for Samuel Sanchez High School. Is that correct? Was Ms. Tang mistaken?
I believe so. Yes.
Mr. Benedetti, let me take you back to Exhibit 1. And Exhibit 1 of Cortex Exhibit Binder was the original RFP that was issued. Is that correct? If you turn to
page three.
Okay, at the very top, I'm looking, it says RFP issue date, June 15, 2015.
Okay.
So, was this the initial RFP that was issued prior to any amendments?
I think that's what we were... I think that's what we were saying. I need to compare.
Okay. Well, at the least we know that this was issued on June 15, 2015, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And actually, if you go to the cover page, you didn't even sign this, did you?
No. So,
and who signed it?
Glenda Grill.
Okay, we'll get to that later. And who else signed it?
Duncan and I.
Okay. So I'd like to turn your attention to page 45. And this is 45 also in the RFP and Cortex case number. At the top of the page, it says Simon Sanchez High School requirements.
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall that Ms. Fang asked you a couple of questions about this portion of the RFP?
Yes.
Okay. And do you recall that she was also asking questions, that she was asking questions about subsequent amendment to this portion of the RFP?
Yes.
And how that subsequent amendment was entitled Simon Sanchez High School considerations?
Yes.
You recall that? Okay, let's look at actually page 45. Let's take some time to go into some sections that Ms. Tang didn't ask you about this morning. Okay?
Okay.
The second paragraph there, do you see note?
Yes.
Okay. Can you read aloud what that note says?
All given figures / drawings are for general guidelines and for reference only and shall be verified by the offerer to comply with all the standards set forth by all agencies having jurisdiction, local or federal.
Okay. So in the first part of that sentence, it says that these figures, all given figures, drawings are for general guidelines. Is that correct?
Yes.
And it also says it's for reference only. Is that correct?
Yes.
Does it say anything about any of these specifications being mandatory requirements?
No.
Okay. Now, Ms. Tan asked you a question this morning about your opinion about why this portion of the RFP was changed subsequently to say Simon Sanchez High School considerations. Do you recall that?
Yes, I recall.
Isn't it possible that it was amended to better reflect the actual intent of the original pages of the RFP in light of that note? That these were just general guidelines and for reference only?
Yes.
Mr. Beneventi, are you aware of what type of entity Vaughan Educational Facilities Foundation is? Are you aware that it's a nonprofit corporation?
I think I remember seeing that. Yes.
Or a special purpose corporation?
Churchill Arthur Foundation testified you know.
I'm just asking if he knows.
He testified to the Foundation.
I'm going to overrule the objection and ask him a couple of. But yes, if he keeps saying he doesn't know, Mr. Aguirre, then we will. That
yes.
Will lead you right into that kind of objection that will be suspended. Please proceed.
Mr. Beneventi, just turn to page, again, Cortex Exhibit Tab 2. Okay, and then page 29. Okay, you see the bottom of page 29, where this is a request for information. These are answers to requests for information. And I'm talking about page 29 of Cortex. This is Cortex number.
Okay.
Okay. And at the bottom on question number 5, it says section 4.2.1.1 states. Do you see that?
Yes, I see it.
Okay, and the question is, a special purpose corporation such as a nonprofit may also submit a proposal. That was the question, correct?
Yes.
And the answer was
yes.
They must meet all the requirements set forth in this article, correct?
Yes.
Okay, then if we go back to Exhibit 1, Cortex Exhibit 1. Page 20.
I see it.
Okay. In the middle of the page, section 4.2.1.1.
Oh, wait a minute.
Tab 1, yes. And page 20. This is Cortex, page 20. And if you go to the middle of the page, section 4.2.1.1, you
yes.
see that?
Yes.
Ms. Tang asked you a couple of questions about that particular section.
Yes.
Okay. What she didn't ask you about is the last sentence of that paragraph. Do you see that?
Yes.
What does that last sentence say?
A special purpose corporation such as a nonprofit organization may also submit a proposal.
Okay, thank you. Is that consistent with the answer that DPW gave in response to the request for information?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to say that when I'm not sure or I forget, I normally default to no as an answer if you insist on a yes or no. I just want to say that.
Thank you for that clarification, Mr. Benavente, but I'm going to also have to ask that you answer questions asked of you. Okay, please proceed.
Mr. Benavente, let's stick with Exhibit 1 here and go to page 2. And this was the signature page on this RFP, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and it was signed on behalf of Public Works by which individual?
Glendon Guerrero, the director.
Okay.
And John Colomaya, engineer in charge.
Okay, and you didn't sign this particular page, obviously, correct?
That's correct.
Why didn't you sign this?
The director was the procurement officer, and he was in charge of this project.
He was in charge of this project?
That's his function as Director of Public Works.
Okay. And why is he currently involved in this project?
No.
I'm sorry, Mr. Aggie, what page are you asking?
Page 2?
Page 2. I'm there, please proceed.
Why is he no longer involved in this project?
He recused himself.
When did he recuse himself?
Sometime after this. I don't know exactly what date, but
I recall Ms. Tang asking a couple of questions about that, about why you assumed the role of Chief Procurement Officer, correct?
Yes.
So you're not sure as to the time period that Mr. Leonger recused himself?
No, it was after June 11, 2015.
Do you recall your testimony this morning when you said it was around the time that Cortec submitted a bid for this RFP?
Picked up an RFP, I think.
Picked up an RFP. Okay. Why would that matter? Was that a basis for his refusal?
Yes, because his son-in-law worked for Cortec, and he thought it would be a potential conflict of interest.
His son-in-law worked for Cortec?
Yes.
Meaning that his person is married to one of his children?
Yes.
Okay. Who is that individual?
The son-in-law?
Yes.
Henry Titano.
Okay. And he works for... What did Mr. Leonger tell you about this conflict?
Basically, he just says, hey, I'm out of this project, bro. I can't get involved in a Cortec because of I have to recuse myself. So take over.
But he mentioned his son-in-law's name, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And what did he tell you about his son-in-law?
That he's an employee of Cortec.
Did he tell you what he does for Cortec?
No.
Do you know Mr. Titano personally?
I have met Mr. Titano, yes.
Is he in the courtroom, the hearing room today?
Yes.
Okay. What do you know about Mr. Titano's background?
Objection, I think we're getting into weeds here. What's the relevance? We've established why Mr. Leon...
Yeah, I was going to say, Mr. Aguirre, I don't think there's any issue that Mr. Benavente was acting as the chief procurement officer. I don't think there's any question that shortly after this, Mr. Leon Guerrero recused himself. What's your offer of proof for the line of questioning?
Well, I wanted to get into the... Well, she was questioning Mr. Benavente as to why he assumed the position, and without questioning Mr. Benavente as to the circumstances or why Mr. Leon Guerrero wasn't involved. So I simply wanted to know that.
Okay, but do we have to point out Mr. Henry Titano's identity is in question in this case, or the relationship he has with Mr. Leon Guerrero? So do we need to go this far?
Probably not, but I would reserve any questioning until later. Ms. Tang has brought up issues about officials may be involved in either the pre-proposal stage or some other stage of the RFP. So if this is actually a question of who was involved and how many members were involved, then I think it's a fair issue of examination.
Well, I'd like to respond to that. First of all, E.J. Calvo's involvement, E.J. Calvo injected himself into the procurement drafting process.
Okay, I know. I understand that's your argument, Ms. Tang, but so far no evidence has been presented to substantiate that yet. In your case, the chief has just started. This is your first witness, but... please reserve your arguments for closing.
Right, but I think that Mr. Agnew's comment that because one family member, a government employee who is involved in this process, is being questioned, somehow everybody at Cortec is going to be a question. I mean, that's first of all, that's never been raised in any of their briefs.
That's not the impression I'm getting from Mr. Agnew's questions. I am going to sustain your objection. I'm going to ask you to move on, Mr. Agnew, and certainly if you have any objections later on, you may raise them.
Yes, and I will rest on those questions and reserve my client's rights to raise the issue, if in the event Ms. Tang opens that door.
Very well. So, Ms. Tang, a witness for redirect.
Ara. Thank you. Mr. Benavente, you were talking, Mr. Keeler had asked you about the lease, in referencing the statute 50D, section 104, the long-term lease that's authorized by the public law, 32120. Do you recall? Would you like me to direct you to the section?
Yeah, please.
I'm happy to do that. All right, let's go to CT 70, the exact page, 77.
Still at 77.
I'm sorry, it's 177. Yeah, it's good 177. The idea is the schools would be, all of the schools would be leased, correct?
All of the schools?
Yes. Is that your understanding?
No.
Okay, how does it work?
The expert on that would be Gita, but from what I understand, San Sanchez would be the only school that would be leased.
Is that your understanding?
Yes.
All right. And you said the expert would be Gita. Why do you say that?
Because they would be the ones to oversee the lease. they are the experts on the table.
Okay.
Not Public Works.
Have you seen a copy of the lease yet?
No.
Okay. Has DPW been given a copy of the lease?
Not that I understand.
So, without looking at the lease, you can't be sure if all 35 schools will be leased.
We did discuss it in the preliminary part of the in the very beginning of the process when I got involved, yes.
But the financing requires the lease of the 35 schools, right? So you've got the bond and the collateral is direct from the lease. So how are they going to secure that without a lease of 35 schools?
What I understand is Simon Sanchez would be the only school that would be leased, because there were many different types of repairs to the school. So we were talking that some schools may only need to have a parking lot repaired. It didn't make sense to lock that school down. Some schools, other than Samuel Sanchez, would maybe have more work on it. So do we want to lease all that? The committee's understanding was only Samuel Sanchez would be subject.
From Mr. Keeler this afternoon about evaluation rating, and I think the precise question was whether you participated in ranking, and that as part of the evaluation team, you it ranked Keith number one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you or any of the evaluation team rank GEDP?
No.
I'd like to direct your attention to Exhibit 2, page 7.
Okay.
All right. Now, earlier today, I asked you a question about DIT contract, and I asked you whether. And I think the answer you gave this morning was that the IDIQ contract would be for Simon Sanchez and that subsequent task orders would be issued for the new contract. That was this morning.
Yes, that's okay. Okay, that's right.
So I'd like to direct your attention to Exhibit CT2-007. In particular, this, just so you know, this is addendum 6. And Section 2.0 intent, last paragraph, it reads, once a firm is selected, scope of work and fee estimate will be negotiated to fund the required services for Simon Sanchez High School. A task order will be developed and executed for the remaining 35 public schools based on the priority list and needs of GDOE after the completion of the comprehensive capital improvement plan. Does not this paragraph mean Simon Sanchez would be the school that would be addressed first under the IDIQ contract, and then the subsequent task orders would be issued for the remaining 35 schools. Do you agree? Isn't that what this says?
Well, the way you prefaced it, no, but that's what this says.
Just so there's no confusion, tell me what you think this says. Last paragraph of 2.0. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It says once a firm is selected, a scope of work and fee estimate will be negotiated. And then task orders would be executed. So,
for the remaining 35 schools, that would exclude Simon Sanchez, would it not? Yes or no?
Well, that's what it says. What we were, what I was understanding is that the IDIQ contract was the umbrella contract. And after that, a task order will be cut for the details, design, construction for Samuel Sanchez High School.
All right. Let's look at exhibit two. So this addendum here, the is part of the RFP, right? You agree? Modifies the RFP. Is this,
yes.
This controls. Not what, whatever your understanding is, wherever you got that understanding, doesn't control. It is the RFP that controls. Do you agree?
RFP does control, yes.
Okay. So, let's go to section 2.1, right below, same page, CT2-0007. 2.1.1, third paragraph down. It reads, the period of performance of the IDIQ for each remaining 35 GDOP school facilities will be negotiated and ordered on a task order basis per school facility based on the priority list and needs of GDOE after the completion of the comprehensive capital improvement plan. Doesn't this also confirm that task orders will be issued for the remaining 35 schools, excluding Simon Sanchez? That has been covered under the main IDIQ.
Well, that's what the statement is saying, yes.
Now, so earlier, Mr. Agege asked you, referring you to certain sections in the RFP about signatures and documents. And I think that you testified that, please correct me if I'm wrong, that price proposals did not need to be sealed. Is that what you said?
We didn't ask for price proposals.
You didn't ask for a price?
We didn't ask for a price, that's correct.
So you're telling me that this RFP did not ask for a price?
That's correct.
Did Geef submit a price?
I don't know, but we didn't ask for a price. So some people give things that we didn't ask for. We asked for a bond, but not a, we didn't ask for a price.
Okay. I'm speechless. I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, I think it was clear that we didn't ask for a price.
All right, maybe I'll help refresh your recollection here. Yeah. All right, let's go to section 4.0.3, CT1-18.
Sorry, what's that?
Page CT1-18, section 4.0.3. It reads, in addition, the offeror shall also include a separate project approach and prepare a cost estimate for design. You see that?
Yes.
Cost estimate is
what it says there.
Okay. And so these price proposals, are you familiar with section 3114, subsection H of 2GAR regarding receipt and handling of proposals? Are you familiar with that section? So let me provide you with a comment. This would be our exhibit 9439.
This is exhibit
39.
Ms. Tang.
Yes.
Not
just the bargain. Yeah. Would you mind? 39. All right, I'm going to direct you to page. The fifth page of exhibit 9, the bottom you'll see page 47.
Bottom of page 47.
Yes. It says there's a subsection H, receipt of handling of proposals. Do you see that?
Yes.
All right, under subsection H1, registration, proposals and modifications shall be time-stamped upon receipt, held and held in a secure place until established due date. Proposals shall not be opened publicly nor disclosed to unauthorized persons, but shall be opened in the presence of two or more procurement officials. Do you see that?
Yes.
And did you do that at DPW?
No.
Next sentence, a register of proposals shall be established, which shall include for all proposals the name of each offeror, the number of modifications received, if any, and a description sufficient to identify the services offered. Did you keep a register of proposals at DPW?
I take back my first no. It says proposals and modifications shall be time stamped upon receipt. That's any proposal. That would have to be logged and stamped. Yes, any proposal.
But it also says shall be opened in presence of two or more procurement officials. Did that happen?
In this case, the proposals were opened in front of the evaluation committee.
Okay. Did you maintain a register of proposals?
Yes. I would expect our staff to do that, yes.
Do you know that for a fact, or do you have to check with someone?
Pretty sure that they have a, you know, when proposals come in, it's dated, they put the time in, who received it, and who delivered it, and what company, and the phone number. It's a pretty standard form at CIP.
But it should also include the number of modifications received. That would be included in the registered proposal. You understand that? So
if this was a bid.
No,
yes.
We're talking about proposals. So that's not.
Yes, but this
bids.
Is a unique kind of.
There's nothing unique. This is the law.
Yes.
Please answer the question.
Mr. Benavente, just answer the question to the best of your ability and to the best of your knowledge.
Say the question again, please.
Did DPW maintain a register of proposals, which included the name of the proposal, each offeror, the number of modifications it received, and a description sufficient to identify the service offered? Did you maintain such a proposal?
Yes, for this RFP.
Okay. And if you are requested by the public auditor to produce them for the proposals, DPW can and will produce it.
For this RFP, absolutely.
Okay. Now, the next sentence beginning at the bottom of that page. The registered proposal shall be opened to public inspection only after an award of contract. Proposals of offers who are not awarded the contract shall not be open to public inspection. So that means your understanding is that CTI, Cortex, neither Cortex nor Pernix's proposals should have been shown to anyone outside of the authorized group.
The proposals were submitted and opened by the evaluation committee.
You understand they weren't to be shared outside of the committees, right?
I don't remember us sharing it outside of the selection committee. But I understand that, yes. May I say something?
Mr. Benavente, your testimony is limited to answering questions while you're on the stand.
Okay. And you testified that you saw sealed envelopes with the proposals that were submitted by Pernix and Cortex, right?
Yes.
And were they just put in the sleeve, inside sleeve?
Yes.
All right.
Sleeve.
And is it your recollection that we did the same thing?
Yes.
So all three proposals came in with a sealed envelope?
Yes.
And inside the sealed envelope were the bid bond and the price. Correct?
In it definitely would be the bid bond.
And the price?
I don't know about the price, but I do know being told that the bonds are in there.
So sitting here today, you have no clue what's in those sealed envelopes.
That's
the
correct.
Chief procurement officer.
That's the advice of the technical staff to me, yes.
And you understand that all information is referring you to the same statute. Page 48 of Exhibit 39, that you're, and please take a moment to review it, Section 2, I, subsection I, L, I1, 2. When you're evaluating proposals,
where's that again? Section I.
Page 48 of Exhibit 39.
Page 48.
Yeah.
Okay, discussion.
Subsection I talks about discussion.
Yes.
And then the discussion says permissible, limited to for during evaluation. Now, you see subsection 2 below, no disclosure of information, that you are not allowed to disclose any information derived from proposals submitted by offerors. Other offers, excuse me. So that means...
Ms. Tang, what is your offer for keys? Okay, once again, we're getting into the exercise of reading vast amounts of material. And the document pretty much speaks for itself. It is the law. So what's your offer of proof on...
I believe you testified earlier that under cross-examination by Mr. Agagy, that these documents were not sealed, the price were not sealed. Did not have to be sealed in the bond. And that, in that case, then it became basically, my understanding, it's something that could be disclosed.
Perhaps you could ask him directly without having to read paragraph after paragraph of the law, and you can ask him a question directly.
All right, so I will. Mr. Benedict.
Please don't have the witness
read. I will. Mr. Benedict, so is it your understanding that the sealed, the price of Pernix and Cortex was not to be disclosed to anyone outside of the negotiate.
Yes, that's my understanding.
And that
even though
you,
we didn't ask for it.
And that if you did, if it was disclosed, there would be a violation of opportunity.
That would be the obvious conclusion, yes.
On the RFIs, let's go to Exhibit 2, page 20, starting number 28. And I'm going to direct you to...
What's the document number, please?
I'm sorry, Cortec Exhibit 2.
Yeah.
I'm just directing to the RFI, which begins on 28.
Ms. Dang, as we're over on 3:30 time limit for today.
I will finish when I'm done. Yeah.
You what?
I will finish up. I'm not gonna.
No, we don't have, because I believe the other parties would have recross.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry that they
That's
would.
Fine.
Likewise, the public auditor would probably have a few questions of her own.
I see.
So, unfortunately, we're not going to finish with your testimony today, Mr. Benvente. We will reconvene Thursday at the OPA conference room on the 9th floor at 9 a.m.
So I just want to, housekeeping, can we enter, I don't know if 36 was in, but 36, 37, 38, 39, 40.
Well, which were, if it's already in the procurement record, we do not need to admit them, but your... stated Exhibit 37 as part of the procurement record. We've already done Exhibit 35. Exhibit 36, is that part? I think you stated that was part of the procurement record.
The attachment to the email for 36, which, and then 38.
Which was, okay, so we've got your Exhibit 35, Exhibit 36 and 37 were admitted. What was Exhibit 38, Ms. Payne?
38 was the email from Mr. Keeler to Mr. Romero regarding the signing off on the contract.
Now, is that part of the procurement record or not?
It should have been.
Well,
yeah, it's a communication regarding this procurement.
On the off chance it's not, are there any objections to Exhibit 38? It's not part of the procurement record. Has the email from Randy Romero?
No objection.
Mr. Agnew?
No.
All right, so we're going to admit Exhibit 38. That leaves us with Exhibit 39.
Which is the statute.
Are there any objections to the admission of Exhibit 39?
None.
No.
Thank you.
Very well. So Exhibit 39 is admitted out in the record as well. Okay. Any other matters before we depart? We need to release Mr. Romero from the OPA conference room. I'll do a report at 9 a.m. on Thursday.
Okay. We're off the record at 3:40 p.m.